verse 26. Want to give a hearty thank you to all those that were here yesterday working. A lot of things got done. And it's incumbent on us to finish the rest and not mess up what was already done. All right. Numbers chapter 13, verse 26 says, "And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel under the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. These are the 12 spies that went into the promised land, and now they've come out. And they told them and said, We came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea, and by the coast of Jordan." We see there, verse 30, "And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, The land through which we have gone to search is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you be with us. Lord, be with me as I bring forth this word. Father, I pray that we would see that if you have a plan, then there's no other reasoning, there's no other logic, there's no other worry we need to bring into it. That, Father, if you say to do it, it can be done. And that, Lord, you are willing to help your people in these situations. Lord, I pray that we would have faith in you, and Lord, that faith would be strong. For it's the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. What we're seeing here is these men, they went through and they saw that the land was exactly what God said it would be, right? We're going to the promised land. The promised land is a land of milk and honey. It is overflowing with wonderful things. There are sights to behold there. There are wonderful, wonderful places here. And we would all like to go there, and we're going to march right on up to it. And they were all excited to get the things. They were all excited to get land. They were all excited to go in there and have a place of their own. They were all excited to have grapes the size of basketballs. Oh, they're so happy. We want these things. But they didn't want to do the work that came along with it. As a matter of fact, the responsibility and the obstacles scared them to the point to where they would much rather die in the wilderness than go in there. We live in a world today of easy believism, a world of if you just claim it, you can have it. Yeah, if you just say God's going to give it to you, He'll just give it to you. We all want a good relationship with God. We all want to be strong Christians. But when it comes down to it, we lack the faith to have it. We use the word we use phrases like having faith. And I think a lot of Christians nowadays, they don't know what that word means, to have faith. They think that all they've got to do is they've got a Disney wish upon a star hard enough on God, and they'll have all their problems solved, and everything will be great, and they'll have billions of dollars in the bank account, they'll never get sick again, and they believe it because there are people out there preaching it. That's not what the Bible says at all about us. And there are many people who come up to grand, terrible things in their lives. And they say, this problem's too big. And that's exactly what these men said. You know what? God was right. It is a beautiful land. Look, it takes two of us to carry out this bundle of grapes. Look how big it is. I said grapes the size of basketballs. They were normal sized grapes. Well, we carry these out like this. Everything he said was true. However, in order to have it, it's too difficult. It's too much work. It's too scary. We're not happy about this. We're like grasshoppers. One of the preachers at the conference, they preached about that. They said, grasshopper Baptists. And I said, oh man, if that does not describe exactly what we are sometimes. I'd give the gospel, but nobody's listening. I'd take a stand at work for what we're supposed to be doing, but I don't want to get ridiculed. It'd be too big of a thing. I'm too scared. Or like we see nowadays, oh, well, sometimes there's unique problems that the Bible doesn't talk about. And those unique problems are beyond what you could have settled within the church. You must go to these people who have things called practices, where they are guessing at things. And they don't have proper measurements for things. They're just kind of guessing and hoping with you. And they're giving you random bits of advice all fit down to the size of one person's head. And they think we can solve everybody's problem off of what one man or one woman can guess. Oh no, we got unique problems. We've got difficult problems. Right? The Bible doesn't talk about anything. The Bible doesn't talk about depression. You go talk to Elijah. You go talk to Job. About a problem we think we just invented today. These are men who have seen great things from God and yet still wanted to die. And we sit there and we think we invented it. The Bible doesn't say anything about anxiety. You pay very close attention to some of the people in this. You look at Moses himself. Lord, I can't. Why? I got a stutter and a stammer. I can't. What about Jeremiah, Isaiah? All these great men who were supposed to do great things, and they were too nervous or too scared. What about Barak, who had he was just too nervous to go into something? What about all those people that dealt with that? What about Peter, who panicked over every little thing and let his mouth shoot off random things? What do you think fed that? We think we invented problems, ain't in the Bible. You think we got brand new things here today the Bible speaks nothing about, or God was too finite in his mind to be able to solve the problems we have today. We don't have new problems. They dealt with the same things we did. The very same stuff those people were made out of, we're made out of. The very same things they did. We think that just because we've got the internet today, we've got knowledge nobody else has ever had. They knew about this stuff. And they knew about it when God was writing this book. And we know exactly what to do with it. But oh no. It's modern times. This is 2024. God doesn't have reach this far. God does not have answers for these things. The answers have always been there. Always. And yet we who have seen God work in our lives, we've experienced salvation, we've had God bless our problems, we felt comfort when there were things that we were going through, we felt His presence, we've had wisdom, the Holy Spirit has moved us in things, Bible verses hopping up into our heads, things that just took place that prevented other devastating things from happening. We know how good God is! And yet for some reason we run across a fresh problem and we act as though we're beyond His capacity. We're not. We just need to buckle down. Well, if you sit there every night and you sit there and you pray like you're wishing, oh, God will give you everything. If you send me your last dollar, God will give you 9,000 more. They tell these lies. When all actuality, God tells us exactly what. Listen to that person who thinks that by sending $500 into a television preacher, they can make money. Let me tell you this. There are stewardship principles in the Bible that would help you take that $500 and make money. There are stewardship principles in the Bible about work and about caring for those who are unable to work. There are principles in this book that if we followed, we wouldn't have that problem. Well, we've got issues within our family. You don't understand the bitterness and the rivalry. Oh, believe you me, I can tell you about some bitterness and some rivalry in some families, man. I tell you. You tell me your stories, I'll tell you mine. We'll put it in a book. We'll make a couple bucks. You know? Oh, you don't understand. You know the Bible talks about that business? Forgiveness, love, compassion. Well, every time I go around that person, they get like this and they pick a fight every time. So don't go near them. The Bible says mark people like that. Don't go near them. But don't be unforgiving. Don't be bitter. I had to tell someone just recently, I don't have a problem with you. You don't owe me an apology for anything. It's just your chaos. Right? For the same reason I stay away from a tornado, I got to stay away from you. You're like the Titanic. You don't mean to, but you're going to drag me under with you. No. That's okay. Oh, but you don't understand. I got this situation at work. You don't know what it's like to be when your boss threatens to fire you. Oh, yes, I do. Look at me. One of the silliest people you ever met. Guaranteed I've said some things that almost got me fired. Guaranteed I've done some things that almost got me fired. Guaranteed I've drawn some lines in my life. Well, this is the way we want you to explain it. And if you don't want to explain it that way, you can get out. Well, you feel free to fire me, but I'm going to tell the truth. My sales numbers were still better than everybody else cheating. And I'm not even that talented. You know what I mean? People got this thing where they like honesty. God likes it. People like to hear it, especially when you're selling them something. It works. God does not have problems on earth he can't solve. And he's not just left you with a hope and a wish. He's left you with something solid. We can see in the Word of God how things have worked. But they get up to the promised land. They see that there's giants. They see that it's going to be hard. And they say, I don't know. I want a really good walk with God. All right, here's what you're going to do. You're going to have to read the Bible every day. Every day, I'm not a very good reader. You don't understand. I had a hard time when I was a kid reading. I struggle with it. Hey, did you know there's a lot of ways? You know, somebody sat there, they just had a debilitating learning disability. Did you know you could get that stuff read to you? They got it on the internet. You can go down to the bookstore. You can buy it. There's a lot of ways. I've got an application on my phone. Will read the Bible to me. You got issues like that. There's a way to get it in. Well, you got, and you also, you want to walk close to God. You're going to have to pray on a regular basis. Okay, well, like how? You need to pray all day, multiple times a day, as often as you can. Daily conversation with God. Bring him your concerns, repent of your sins, tell him thank you, sing songs to him, worship him in your home. It's going to take that. Okay, but isn't there like a faster way? Can't I just come to church on a Sunday and you play a certain kind of music that makes me feel really, really good so I go home and I feel like I did something? That's like those people go to Planet Fitness on pizza day and you sit on the elliptical and you eat your pizza. Now listen, I had a doctor tell me that doesn't count. Could you imagine a doctor being so rude? So how long were you on the elliptical? I was on there for 30 minutes. Wow! How far did you go? Well, I mean, I only got up once to go get another slice, but like, it doesn't count, does it? You go in, you feel good, but that's not going to bring any closer to God. You need to get some sin out of the way. You need to learn some better practices in your life. And oh yeah, by the way, number three, you want to walk close to God, you got to get rid of the sin. And you got to do the stuff he tells you to do. That's number four. That's spiritual fitness. You got to get that locked in. And guess what? It's hard. You got kids at home? It's hard. You got a full-time job? It's hard. You've got a lot of things on your plate right now? It's hard. You haven't done it in a while? Guess what? It's going to be hard. God did not say that the moment you were saved, it was going to be easy street. That's a place called heaven, and we're not there yet. We're at a place of sweat and tears, and it takes effort. And that is not a very popular gospel, by the way. That's not a popular way of Christian living. It's supposed to be you wake up and God puts $9,000 in your pocket. That's supposed to be you go through work and you just get promotions every day. And the more you give into the church, the more you find in the washer dryer later. Oh yeah, what'd you give this week? Oh, this week I gave $1,000. Oh yeah, you won't believe it. I went through the dryer, reached into my pocket, and I found $12,000 in there. You won't believe it. You're right, I don't believe it. I don't. Is that beyond God's ability? No. Is that how God works? No. He can do it. But knowing him, that's not how he'd do it. Now, how do you know that? Because that's not what he said he would do. It takes effort. It takes work. It takes doing things that perhaps you would normally be uncomfortable with. It takes telling yourself no. For these people, they would have to go to war. And that bugged them. They're too big. They're too scary. Anybody here, you got big problems? Of course you do. Different sizes, different shapes. What's a big deal to you might not be a big deal to somebody else. What's maybe not so much to you might crush somebody else. You don't know. But each and every one of us sit and you got big problems in your life. And the temptation for every man, woman, and child is to look at those problems and say they are too big. And while we would never sit there and we would never say this problem is too big for God, we would act that way. Now, how do we act that way? Well, let's take a look at what they did. They looked at the problem. What was the problem? These guys are huge. They're big guys. It says giants. Now, of course, when you read in fairy tale stories, giants are 20, 30-foot monsters. A giant, man, you see some of these 7.5-foot people walking around? That's a giant to me. That's a giant. Now, the Bible, the way the Bible describes a giant is someone anywhere between around 7.5 to about 9 foot, maybe even 10 foot tall, huge person. And now when we see people 7 reaching almost 8 foot, that's a reasonable thing. And we know the genetics are slowly breaking down. We're not quite as good as we used to be as far as our genetics is. So it's perfectly possible for certain things to have been bred out that size and shape. I mean, my goodness, could you imagine being a 5'6" man trying to chase down a 7-foot woman? That'd be difficult. Or vice versa. I'd imagine that after a while that line, that genetic code would probably break down or would be left without a mate or something like that. But these people were huge. I'm going to tell Brother Mark's joke, Word. I'm going to tell Brother Mark's joke. I got down there at the conference down there in Tennessee, and I said, well, I don't wear shorts out there in public. And Brother Mark corrected it. He says, well, he does wear shorts. If anybody else were to put on his pants, they'd be shorts. It's okay. It's okay. I laughed too. You know, there's a lot of people that are giants to me. You know, a little 5'6" of me walking around. Is staring at people. They were huge. They wouldn't want to fight them. And even though these people were terrible and did terrible things and were just the most disgusting of religious practices, and I'm not just talking about preferences here, they did some downright despicable things, right? If we were to see them today, we ourselves would most likely want to shoot them for the stuff they were doing. Oh no, they're too big. And we see today, maybe our problems are too big. Right? What about us as a church? Well, don't you understand it's much easier for people to just not want anything to do with God? You think people have changed over all these years? You think God's lost his saving power? You think that he's looking at this world going, there's no hope for it? You don't think that right up to the day that he's done saving people, you don't think that he's still capable of doing so? Or do you really think that television, mass media, the sinful nature of man, do you really think it's gained much more power than God has ever had? I don't think so. Amen. Now, if you're talking about the strength of men, hey, I doubt that all day. I doubt my strength, I doubt yours, I doubt the people on the streets. But it's not about us. It's about God. You know, I heard somebody say just this last week, and again, it frustrates me. Revival's not coming. Things have gone too bad. We're too close to the end. We'll never see a revival. How shallow. You know what causes revival? God causes revival. Amen. Sends the Holy Spirit down, pricks the heart. We confess our sins. We get excited. We get zeal. We straighten things out. Things are new. Things are exciting. And we're fresh to fight, man. We are. You don't think the Holy Spirit can't do that today? We really think, well, it's too close to the end. Really? What date you got? Because I believe just as much as I believe he could come back this afternoon, I believe he could come back 100 years from now. I do. You tell me he's coming back 100 years? Maybe. Well, do you think he's coming back tonight? Probably. I don't know. He said he's coming. I know he's coming. That's all I know. And I'm not going to sit here planning like I know the day. Man, I tell you what, somebody asked me, what do you think about these people who predicted that the eclipse would bring the end of the world? I mean, Brother Charlie and I got a good laugh about this. Well, because the eclipse was going through seven different cities called Nineveh, right? And we see in the Bible the sign of Jonah. See that phrase, the sign of Jonah? Yeah, I see it. That predicts the end of the world will happen at the eclipse. And they got on YouTube and they got on the internet. And you know what? They got thousands of people to watch those. And then I look at our congregation. I look at the size of these guys' churches, right? And I look at the size of our congregation. And I'm like, man, am I not crazy enough? You know what I mean? Like, everybody's listening to these kooks. And they said, well, don't you think that now they're probably ashamed? No. Because guess what? While people were watching those videos, there was crazy people donating to them. And by the way, for every one of these nut jobs you listen to, who twist the scripture way out of proportion, you know, they're, every time you watch, they get money from YouTube and things like this. So they may be, you know, well, I bet they're crying now. Oh, no, they're laughing. They're laughing in a distinctly bankward direction. Because it doesn't matter. And guess what? In the next 4 or 5 months, they're going to find something else. And people with itching ears are going to be sitting there throwing money and views at them. It's ridiculous. Well, brother, we live in a society like that. What do you really think we're going to be able to do? Exactly what God means for us to do. So we should try. We have never been responsible for the outcome, only the going. Only the working. Oh, and what about your problems? What about those things that are sneaking in? How do I pay for this? What do I do with this doctor? What do I do with this car? What do I do with this neighbor? What do I do with this? These problems that we have. These problems that we lose faith in. Oh, do you see how big it is? And that's our problem. We spend all this time trying to talk about how big our problems are instead of handing them over to a much bigger God. Now listen, a certain understanding, you have to have a certain understanding of what you're going through. You got to know what your problems are. You got to know what it entails, because it's going to be painfully hard to solve anything without knowing the details. But what you should never be doing is measuring the thing and crying in front of it. These things belong to God. We got to lay them at His feet and have a trust and an understanding. And man, is that not hard. You're sitting there, you're at the doctor's office, and the doctor gives you that look. That's hard. You're sitting there, and you're trying to look at there. You've got all these problems piling up on you. This happened, and then this happened, and this happened, and this happened. And it just kind of seems like it's a television staged fight. You're catching fists everywhere. It is hard not to measure that stuff up and tremble. It's hard. But God loves you. And He is strong, and He is capable, and He has a plan for your life. And it's important for us to do what He says concerning those problems. We must do things God's way. These people had the distinct courage to walk through the promised land, see all the good. After that memory of walking past, walking through the parted seas, seeing Pharaoh's army get destroyed, the army of Egypt destroyed, and they still had the distinct courage to look at all the wonderful things, come back and say, "Yeah, probably not this one, guys. These guys are too tall to drown. These guys are too tough for us to fight." Like they had any hand in fighting the first army they fought. You following me on this? You didn't do a thing to save your soul. That was the biggest problem you had. And if you're not saved today, that is your biggest problem. You line up all your problems. You stack them up. You write them out as a list. You put going to hell when I die right on the top. Because that's the big one. That's the big one. You going to pay off your student loans before you die? I don't know. But when you die, you're going to have another debt to pay. And that one doesn't get deferred, and the government ain't paying that one for you. That's the biggest problem you have. So when we sit there and you didn't have any part in how you were saved, and guess what? God needs very little of your help through the rest of your things. You just do it as He says. Do it as He says. You know, I talk to people, oh, you don't understand? Life's hard. I get told I don't understand a lot. I do. I know if it's just the face. I know if it's my age. I don't know what it is. I get told, you don't understand. Oh, no, I do. So we sat there. They had all their problems. You know what? All their problems could be solved by one thing. And I told you, you know what? There's one thing you need that would solve a lot of this. And they said, what? I go, a job. Well, I try to have a job. They keep firing me. Well, what do they fire you for? Being late? Well, you see, that's a solvable problem, right? And now the Lord says that we need to be good stewards. Good stewards means you show up early, you do the best. Bible says we do everything we do all to the glory of God. So if you're doing that to the glory of God, you're going to put your best effort in, you're going to do everything you can, right, 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 right? So you need to honor God in this. Well, I don't know. I do. That's what God says, that's what we need to do. Oh, I got into a big fight with my spouse. I tell you what, we've had nothing but marital issues. We've had nothing but problems in our marriage. Oh, it's been terrible. She's terrible. She's awful. She's this. She's that. Well, have you tried forgiving her? And have you tried seeking forgiveness from her? No. What do you think is going to happen? I haven't spoken to my parents in years. Well, why? They had rules in the house and it ruined my life. And so that's a throwaway, but sometimes there are issues in the home. Have you ever gone back and forgiven them? Hey, listen, some people had bad parents. That's just the way of it. Have you ever tried forgiving them? Well, they don't deserve it. That's the cute thing about forgiveness. If we deserved it, we wouldn't need it. Bitterness is no way to live your life. Bitterness isn't something you want in your heart. Poisons you. So what if we just did things God's way instead of measuring our problems and trying to pretend like ours are unique or different than any other problem than there has ever been? You think you were the first one with a rough upbringing? You think you were the first one to ever have that particular disease? You think you're the first person who's ever dealt with loss? You think you're the first person who's ever had a bill they couldn't pay? You think you're the first person who's ever had issues within their family, who's ever had issues within their work? You think you're the first person who's ever... I mean, come on, that's the way we act, though. We don't say it, but that's the way we act. My problem is unique. They're giants. My problems are too complex because they're mine and I can't see through them. And by the way, that's the way with a lot of our problems. We can't see past them. Why? Because we're in them. We're in them. The Bible gives us a bird's eye view of these problems, helps us to navigate the situations that we are in. But if we don't turn to it, we're lost without a map. We have neither compass nor direction. We cannot sit there and try to hurt ourselves more with the size of our problems or the uniqueness of them. We pretend things are too complicated, but nothing's too complicated for God. We pretend that there are some problems that just can't be solved, so we surrender. Oh no, we can't, we can't do things that way, right? We can't take on another missionary. We can't go have an outreach where we're knocking on doors. We can't invite people to church. We can't do this. We can't do that. We say that stuff all day. We can't. Of course we can't. Nothing we're doing here makes sense. But with God it does. You think there's a place on this earth this group of people would still be meeting together after all this time? I have seen bowling groups fall apart. I have seen teammates tear each other apart. I have not seen a group of people this big stick together naturally out there in the world. We always get on each other's nerves, we always fight, we always bicker, we always fall apart. Doesn't matter what friend group there is, but look at you. Some of you being members of this church for longer than I've been alive. That's because of God. We sit there, we look over at the situation Brother James is going, Brother and Sister James are going through, her health, this, well, needing, now if they want to go back, they got to go back, they got to go find a place to stay, they got to go find a place to meet, they got to essentially start right back all over again with everything they were doing. That's impossible, not with God. Let me tell you this, the work that they have been able to do was only possible because of God. And if they go back over there, you think God's not going to be already over there? Come on! We act like it's different. It's 2024. God is still God in 2024. Oh, but do you see how bad it's getting? Oh, come on. Anybody here had to sneak here so the Roman guards wouldn't find you? Anybody here drive the long way home so you can shake the tail from the local constabulary trying to figure out where all the Baptists live? I didn't. I came in, I took my time, I wandered around. We got a big old steeple on the church so everybody can see exactly who we are. We ain't hiding nothing. It's bad, but we got to stop pretending it's the worst it's ever been. We're headed there. It's ugly. Way uglier than I ever believed I wanted to see in my life. But it's been worse. Brother Charlie brought up Sodom and Gomorrah. We look back in those early times in life where they're sliding their babies down into chutes full of fire. Down chutes, just into a belly of a god, just fire. We got abortion today, but we don't see that out in public. It's going to get worse. But we can't pretend that we're uniquely bad. There's always been health problems. There's always been societal problems. There's always been murder and terrible, disgusting things. We can't pretend that God can't help. Well, if God was doing what he was supposed to be doing, we wouldn't have these problems. And what is God supposed to be doing? Because I remember a distinct conversation between mankind and God where he says, don't do this, it'll cause terrible things. And we were the ones who did it. Well, why didn't he stop us? Because he didn't want to have a relationship with a puppet. How fun would that be? Because that's what, if God ripped your will, free will away from you, that's exactly what you'd be. You'd be nothing but a puppet. Do you want to have a relationship with a puppet? Hey, who here, you go home, you want to have just a room full of dolls you talk to, and you can make them talk back to you, and that's the only thing that they can do. They only make decisions you make for them. Anybody here, that's what you want to do? You'd sit there and say, well, no, brother, that's crazy. And God's not crazy. He gave us free will, so we'd be something we could have a relationship with. And who messed it up? We messed it up. And we need to be searching to bring God back into our situations. Why do we have this going on in our schools? We try to kick God out of the schools. Why do we got these problems in our churches? You kick the Word of God out of your churches. Well, if God was who he is doing what he's supposed to be doing. We're pushing him away. And what do you think is going to happen? They sat there, oh, no, we're going to stay. What do you think is going to happen? You stay in the wilderness. You'll die out there. You don't build lives in the wilderness, out there in the desert, where things don't grow. You don't build lives where things are difficult like that. You survive. And if anything goes wrong, you fail to survive. Thankfully, God sustained them for 40 years. And I'll tell you what, that's the way it happens with us sometimes. Sometimes God just, he lets us have exactly what we want. We got to deal with it for a while. We can't do it. And God says, you're right, you won't do it. The next generation will do it. Remember we were reading that about Moses? Because God was angry at you. He's angry at me because of you. So what did he do? He took Moses up. Hey, you see the promised land? This is the promised land. Moses goes, oh, that's beautiful. And he dies there. And that's it for him. Why? Because of his anger. Give the people water. People were being difficult. He got mad. He lost his temper. And that was one too far for God. So he didn't get to go in. And the children of Israel, those of that generation, they didn't get to go in. It took 40 years. When that last person died, Lord says, all right, now we're going. And old Joshua took the lead. What are we going to miss out on when we don't solve problems God's way? I miss out on a lot of things. And years pass by while you're in survival mode. And years pass by while you're doing things your way. And guess what else happens? The problems get bigger. If you thought the people were entrenched now, what about 40 years from now when their kids are big? What about 40 years from now when we've built new buildings and strengthened the walls? And that's what happens. We put off our problems, put them off, and they get bigger and bigger and bigger until we're finally willing to do things God's way. Because I tell you what, the tools out in the wilderness, they're inferior. What are you going to do if you don't do things God's way? All right, God's way is being honest. God's way is hard work. God's way is trusting Him. God's way is believing in Him. God's way is asking Him. God's way is finding what He says to do in your situation and applying it to your situation. Asking others to pray for you. Asking for help. Hey, that's God's way of doing things. What would be the other way of doing things? Well, I don't know, lying, cheating, stealing, blaming, sitting there in your own filth. That's our way of doing stuff. That's our way. Well, have you considered going and talking to them? No. Well, how come the family doesn't get together anymore? Well, so-and-so was mad at so-and-so, and we all kind of took sides, and after a while, we forgot what we were arguing about. We just know that the other people are bad people. But what does the Bible say? What's God's way? Mend bridges. Hey, you offended me, and if I offended you, I'm sorry. Getting things right. These are simple things. These are easy things. And if you think about it, they're common sense things. God gives us common sense things to do, and we get offended by it. What do you mean I got to go do that? What do you mean I got to go to work? What do you mean I got to turn this in? What do you mean I got to do this? What do you mean I got to do that? And we shoot ourselves in the foot, refusing to do things God's way. Well, that's an old-fashioned way. It's a narrow-minded way. It just so happens to be a way that works. And the alternative tools are foolishness. Right? You got a sales job. How many of you here want the person who's selling you something to lie to you? But I guarantee you ever get into sales, that's one of the things that they're going to say. They're not going to say lie. They're going to say you got to have a right way of putting it. Anybody here, you want the doctor who works the very minimum he basically can? No? But yet when we've got our own work, we do as little as we can and we think that that's okay. We need to handle things as good stewards. We need to be patient, kind, and loving because the alternative tools don't work. Because God will punish you for using the alternative tools. And the question we have to ask ourselves is, how much do we really want to suffer? There, over there on that other side is the land of milk and honey. Over there is peace. Over there is prosperity. Over there is things working the way that they should. However, that's going to take work, and that's going to take me denying myself certain things. So I would much rather stay here in the boiling sun, in a land where things don't grow. I would rather walk 40 years in this terrible wilderness with nothing but manna, sometimes some quail, and water from rocks. Instead of everything that was flowing over there, give me the baser elements. And that is what many people are doing today, Christian or not. They're satisfied with the baser elements because they do not want to stop using the tools of this world and start using the tools that God has given them. God would have wiped the floor with all of these ites, right? I call them the ites. The Canaanites, these ites, those ites. God would have wiped the floor with them. At the end of 40 years, they would have been in a much happier situation. And yet we find sinful ways of handling our problems. And because everyone around us is doing it, we think we're winning. And what we don't realize is that the problems get worse and worse. The battlements get bigger, the bitterness gets the roots of bitterness grow deeper, and life is not what it should be. But we would have peace if we just asked for forgiveness, if we just confronted those that did wrong against us, if we behaved in a godly manner, both in our both in the way we did things and in our deportment and our attitude and our character, things would be much better. Some people walk around the world, they take all the bitterness in their heart and they lash out at other people. You ever see them? They're the people who's ugly at the ugly to the person who's serving them. They're the person who bumps into you at the grocery store and they snarl at you. I think I'm too kind. Somebody bumps into me, I'll apologize. I'm sorry. Watch where you're going! It looks like I got to watch where you're going too. Mercy. Just grumpy people. To me, that's wilderness living. You're focusing on these things and you're angry and you're bitter. And the mumbling and groaning and complaining that the children of Israel provided their leader Moses only increased. What we need to do instead is we need to lean on the Lord. Whatever your problem is, it can't be fixed with chaos and bad decisions. You know, I've known young men and women. Well, what's going on? Well, I'm having a hard time at work. What are you going to do about it? I'm going to go home, I'm going to drink. But you're going to feel sick tomorrow. Yeah, whatever. So they go into work and they're sick. And they do a bad job and their boss yells at them. And what do? They go home and they drink. And after a while, it's not just a hiding spot. It becomes a major problem in their lives. You know, I've known somebody who just quite recently was threatened to lose their job because they kept being late. Why were they late? Why did they keep calling off? Because they were drunk. It was at St. Patrick's Day. It was on Sunday, wasn't it? The Monday after, they said it was one of the biggest call-off years of the year, the day after St. Patrick's Day. And you know what those people are going to be doing? They blew a bunch of money on booze on Sunday. They missed work on Monday. And guess what blues they'll be singing when payday comes? Right. Oh, life's not fair. You know, if you just honored God, kept that stuff out of your body, and didn't make decisions like that, guess what? You'd have gained a day back at work. Your health would have been in a better situation. And you wouldn't have felt like you got hit by a truck for Monday and Tuesday. How about that? You just honored God. Oh, that's very narrow-minded. Yeah. Oh, that's old-fashioned. But you want to know why they did it? Because it worked! Because back in the day, before somebody would come by and make sure you had, somebody from the government would come by and make sure you had the stuff you needed, if you called off on Monday, you starved. You froze. You got kicked out of your place. Somebody else came and took your place. One of the biggest problems we have today is we forget that life is about survival. Life is about survival. The food we eat, the stuff we do, the work we do, is about our own survival. We live too high on the hog here in America. We forget just how delicate life is. And it makes us ungrateful, and it makes us think that we're the ones pulling this stuff off. You're here because God put you here. He blessed you. You thank Him. You lean on Him. You turn to Him. We talked about being content in Sunday school this morning. A lot of the problems we have in not wanting to lean on the Lord in our problems is because when we have our blessings, we don't raise them up to God and say, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for this brand new day. Thank you, Lord, for all the times you've been there, for every problem I've ever had, for every blessing you've sent my way, for every coincidence that was never really a coincidence. Thank you. We need to turn to Him and thank Him for the things He's given us. And we need to turn to Him and we need to ask Him, Lord, what do I do? And when we look in the Bible and the Bible gives us an honest answer, we need to not cry about it. Each and every one of us has turned to this book and found out something we were doing, we were told not to by that book. Now a child will look at that and say, well, I don't want to read that book anymore. But if somebody else will sit there and say, well, maybe there's something wrong with me. Because I'm telling you what, it's either God's opinion or you. Who do you think is right? They said, oh, those dusty old preachers, they used to preach that. Well, I ain't quite dusty. And depending on who you ask, I ain't old. And I'm here telling you, I've seen this world. Now, what we see, we see in Ecclesiastes, we've seen it. lived in a world where you could see every corner of the world on the internet. You could see exactly what's going on there. You could see the statistics. We get things like this. God's right. And I don't need the world to tell me that, but the world's agreeing with them, and it's important we call it out. Now, we might not be able to stand up and say, hey, some of these sins will destroy your life. We may not be saying as the world, hey, listen, you ought not do this. We'll say something else. We'll say moderation. Ain't no moderation in this world, and we know it. To a person who has a serious problem, no such thing as moderation. We need to lean on the Lord's understanding. We need to lean on the way, on the Lord's truth. And we need to forsake these lesser tools. Well, it makes me feel better at the end of the night. You know what makes me feel better at the end of the night? Knowing I'm doing everything God wants me to do and that He's in control. That helps me sleep. Now, you know what keeps me up? When I'm still not doing something God's way and stuff ain't working. There's a difference there. I'm not sitting here saying, I've got everything perfect and wonderful. No, what I'm saying is, when I do, I sleep like a baby. Man, I don't know what came over me yesterday. I don't take naps. I take naps, it ruins the rest of my day. I took a nap yesterday. I don't know if Danielle couldn't get a hold of me or what, but I woke up to what kind of felt like she was giving me CPR. Matt, dinner time. Felt like I was just being born. Took me a while to remember I had a name. You know, that was good. Sleep like a baby. Why? Because I saw a bunch of stuff checked off on the church to-do list. I got a bunch of stuff that I needed to get done. There were some things I saw got taken care of. And you know what? I sleep like a baby. Now, are there problems? Hey, I got them. You got them. We all got them, right? But man, when things are going God's way, and I can sit there and say, all right, that's submitted to God, that's submitted to God, that stopped, this is going here. Man, you sleep so good. But you know what's going to keep you up all night long? When you're still not doing things His way. Because there's no hope in that situation, is there? Is it going to go this way? Is it going to go that way? And we're panicked. And we begin to think like these people did. No, Caleb and Joshua, they're wrong. We'll never be able to beat this. That old pastor, my friends at church, they don't understand this problem. Whereas God's sitting up there in heaven going, I've written about this a dozen times. If you just pick up the book, you'd see it. That's when you stay up at night. When you're doing things your way. I'll end with this ridiculous story. Danielle loves to paint. For her birthday, we got one of those experiences where you get to paint. And I went with her. Now, Danielle is a wonderful artist. I absolutely love her. We've got stuff all over the walls from her. I am just a step above a child with finger paints. Everybody else, there was an art student, there's a couple art students over here, did a beautiful job. Just wonderful thing. All across, there was two of us, both of us were guys for some reason. And that lady who did the class, she came over. And she was the most positive and wonderful person on earth. And she goes, she looked at, this is nice, this is nice, this is nice. She comes over to mine, she goes, oh. Now listen, I've been a hot mess in school long enough to know that when a teacher stands behind you and either says, bless your heart, or, oh, we're trying to be positive about something that's not very positive. And you know what? She'd say, use white, and I'd do something else. She says, use this color, and I'd do something else. That poor lady spent, what, 5-10 minutes? Felt like an eternity behind me going, okay, now do this. Okay, now do this. And then I would make a mistake while she was gone, and then she'd come back and she'd go, uh-oh. And that's how I feel it is between us and God. We want to make the smallest of things our own. We want to, well, that's what the Bible says, but I'm going to do something just a little bit different. And then we don't realize that at the end, it messed us up, right? Well, I don't think drinking's all that bad. I don't think smoking's all that bad. I don't think that a little lie here and there is all that bad. I don't think a little covetousness, I don't think a little bit of a lustful lifestyle, I don't think a little bit's bad. And then it gets a hold of you and it tears your life apart. And then you're sitting there and you're still not able to recognize it was because you tried to customize God's plan. and the problems drowned you. The problems consumed you. We need to submit to God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, your way is perfect and right. Father, it was your Son that says he was the only way. He's the great shepherd. He's the way, the truth, and the life, as we see in your word. Father, help us not to be so arrogant. Help us not to be so careless that, Lord, we would turn aside the way you tell us to do things because there's things we want to do. And Father, when it comes down to our problems, when it comes down to the trials that we must face, help us, Lord, not to be reckless, but instead give over to you, give over to your plan. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. We all stand, page 150.